Well, amen. Praise the Lord for that special this morning as well. If you have your Bibles with you, go ahead and look with me to the book of 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6. We'll be reading verse 6 down to verse 12 this morning. 1 Timothy chapter 6. If you're able to, we ask you to stand for the reading of God's Word. As I read, you follow right along with me. 1 Timothy chapter 6. In verse 6. But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. And let's pray. Our Father and our God, as we bow before you this morning, Lord God, again, we thank you for allowing us the opportunity to assemble ourselves together here today. Thank you for your presence in this place, for the blessings that we've already received through just assembling ourselves together, through congregational singing, and through the special music. And now, Father, as we have opened up your holy word, and Lord, I know that you have a message for each one of us through it. I pray, God, that you'd open up hearts and minds to be receptive. And I pray that you would use me once again as an instrument in your hand to bring forth your message to your people from your word. For this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. A very familiar passage of scripture to most. At the center of this text is money. Verse 10, it says, for the love of money. Now, this would be Paul's message. Paul's writing this letter under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God. And Paul's writing this message to a young preacher boy by the name of Timothy. And as this was Paul's message to Timothy, a very important message for Timothy to grasp, it's also God's message for each one of us. And it's very important that we grasp this message that God has for us in this chapter 6, in the text that we've just read. June is our Faith Promise Missions Emphasis Month here at the church. It's also our Stewardship Month. I think the two of them go together, Stewardship and Faith Promise Missions, being able to carry out the Great Commission that God has given to us. And money is somewhat the center of that. Money has been a part of life since the beginning of civilization. Now, you can track down in the different dispensations of time, and there's been different types of currency. As we look back, I mean, you know, the salt at one point was used as currency. Gold and silver and precious stones and different things, and but all of it is currency for humanity to use in civilized, you know. relationships and how we expect to live life. Most, no doubt, have an over-exaggerated view of money. But it takes money to live. It takes money to raise a family. It takes money to run a church. And if you will, it takes money to reach the world. In the book of Proverbs, in chapter 23 and verse 4, the Bible says, labor not to be rich. You see, as we study the Word of God, we know that money is connected to work. And both of these are important, but our work is more important than money. To work to please God is a concept established by God for man. It's something that we're losing sight of in the society today. But it's something that God has established from the very beginning of time. Let me just read to you, back in the book of Genesis, in chapter 2, and verse 7, the Bible says this, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. And the very next verse, it says this, and the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. And over in verse 15, it says, and the Lord God took the man and put him in the garden of Eden to dress it and keep it. If you would, to work it. To work it. Now, as this was before the sin of man, after sin entered the picture in civilization and the world and in man's life, we find in chapter 3 of the book of Genesis, work remained, but it got harder. In Genesis chapter 3 and verse 17, the Bible says, and unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast esteemed, or hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it, cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. The basic principle of work is to live. And the basic need to sustain life is food. And so for you to be able to eat to live, you're going to have to work. It's going to be harder now because there's sin that's entered into the world. And so he says, thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee. In work, there's going to be hindrances. In work, there's going to be thorns and thistles shall bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. But you still need to maintain work so that you will be able to live or eat. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread till thou return unto the ground. That means it's a principle that God has established throughout life on earth. Till thou return unto the ground, for out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. So this idea to work to be rich, as Proverbs 23:4 says, labor not to be rich. That's not why you should work. That should not be your goal in life. To work to be rich places a greater love on money than on God. And work was designed by God for man to please God. Now, with that understanding of that, we look back over to our text here this morning in 1 Timothy in chapter 6. And we find here that God had given this for Paul to write to Timothy, and this letter was to be read to all the churches, but he's also preserved it for this 21st century to understand biblical principles from this and how it applies to our life even today. And God makes some powerful statements that I think that we have somewhat lost sight of in civilization today. Statement 1 in verse 7. For we brought nothing into this world. And God says, it is certain. There's absolutely no way around it. It's certain. We can carry nothing out. We can't take anything of this world into the next. Now, that's important to understand that, because when we understand that, this statement from God will change how we live. If we understand it and we believe it as God would have us to believe it, it should change our thinking. First of all, knowing there is another life. Knowing that life does not end at physical death. Those who believe that life ends with physical death will live a totally different life than somebody that believes in God and understands that this life that we're living right now is just temporal, but we have a life to look forward to that is going to be eternal. Amen. And if all we have is this life, then yes, let's eat, drink, and be merry. Let's do whatever it is we want to do, when we want to do it, how we want to do it, not think about anything else but ourselves. Can I tell you that's where the world is headed right now? That's where society is headed right now? And if you don't give it to me, I'll take it. If you don't give me what I think I deserve, then by all means, then you ought to allow me to do whatever I can do to get it for myself. And the more you give people with that kind of attitude and mindset, the worse it will get. Because you can't give me enough to make me content, because whatever you give me, I'm going to want more. So the first statement that God makes that we need to keep in the forefront of our minds is that there is another life, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. How important will money be on our deathbeds? Because once we die, it's worthless. A year and a half ago, I was on my deathbed, actually died. And can I tell you, when I was on my deathbed and ended up having the 6-way open heart bypass surgery, and only God kept me alive through that. But I guarantee you, money was never on my mind. Because no amount of money could have changed that. Once we die, it's worthless. So some people work all their life for money, and when they die, it's worthless to them, and it destroys their family, because I have seen some horrific things take place with siblings thinking that they deserve more than what was left to them, or over a little bit of money, they'll end up hurting one another and destroying relationships over money. How important will our worldly possessions be on our deathbed? I'm not saying that it's wrong to have worldly possessions. It's wrong to love worldly possessions more than your love for God. It's wrong to say, no matter what, I'm going to have this, and I'm going to have that, and I'm going to have that, because I want to live life with having everything, every toy that I'd ever want. When you're on your deathbed, you realize, not going to help me. No matter what kind of house I have, no matter what kind of car I drive, no matter what kind of toys I have, they're worthless. How important will our physical beauty be on our deathbed? Say, why do you say that, preacher? Well, many live their entire lives more concerned about these things than God. More concerned about how we look, how other people see us as younger than what we really are. How other people view us as far as how what we have, what are our possessions. More concerned about those things than God. Yeah. So statement one, it is certain we can carry nothing out. But there is a second. There is a life beyond death. Statement two is found here in verse 6 and 8. Verse 6, it says, but godliness with contentment is great gain. What a great statement. Godliness leading to contentment. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. Let us. That means it's up to you. It's up to me. Contentment in my life is going to be up to me. Contentment for your life will be up to you and what you look to make you content. Let us find contentment in God and His provisions. Because if you know who God is and you have a love for God and you understand that God has a love for you, then you will be able to find contentment in having a relationship with God and knowing that my God shall supply all of my need. Didn't say all of my desires. Now, when it's possible, God will give us the desires of our heart, but you don't have that promise that whatever you want, you can have. What promise we have is that as we look to God, He will provide our need. Not everyone will be healthy, and not everyone will be wealthy in this life. And if your contentment is based upon your wealth, or if your contentment is based upon your health, you're not going to find the peace that God wants you to have in this life. Because even in God's perfect will, not everyone's going to be healthy. Not everyone's going to be even healthy. But you'll have the wealth that you need to have to accomplish what God has you here to accomplish. And you'll have the health that you need to have to accomplish what God has you here to accomplish. All we have to do is look at the apostles of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not a one of them could be said had all the things of this world. But not a one of them, once they witnessed the resurrection of Jesus Christ, had a desire for all the things of this world. They had a greater love for Christ than they did of things. They had a greater love for God than they did of money. They had a greater love for God than they did of even their own physical health, as the Apostle Paul. He didn't want this infirmity, and he prayed that God would take it away. But once he understood this was something that God allowed him to have so that he would be able to accomplish what God had for him to accomplish, then he rejoiced in it and found contentment even in poor health. Because he knew it was temporal. Trying to find contentment in money will always lead to great loss. But godliness with contentment, looking to God first, and then what we have, is great gain. Without it, will be great loss. Statement number 3, verse 9 and 10. But they that will be rich, that is my focus. They that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. That perdition is punishment in hell. For the love of money is the root of all evil. The foundation for this love for money is that of evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves. I do it to myself. Pierce themselves through with many sorrows. So the third statement here, verses 9 and 10, helps us to understand this. God says, I want you to know where a love for money comes from. A love for money is a snare, or if you will, a trap of evil influences. The devil knows if he can get you to love money more than you love God, he can control your life. If you love the things of this world more than you love God, then he can control your life with the things of this world, because he is the prince of the power of the air. This is his domain. He'll keep us from ever having the contentment and peace and accomplishments that God has for our lives. It's a trap of evil influences. And it requires a turning away from faith. Did you get that right there in verse 10? For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, that's what you've given yourself to, they have erred from the faith. Because that's not how God would have us to live. Loving God and loving other people, our neighbors, which is the two greatest of all the commandments that God gives us, will keep us from loving money. Loving God and loving others throughout human history, even this 21st century, will keep us from loving money. Mark chapter 10. Look there with me. Everybody follow me? I trust. This is just, it is a part of life, and God addresses it. And we need to understand what God has to say about it. In the book of Mark in chapter 10, verse 21 and verse 22, the rich young ruler, you know the story, no doubt. And Jesus addresses this rich young ruler who wanted, said, I've obeyed all the commandments. I want to follow you. I want to be one of your disciples. Then Jesus, beholding him, and this is important, loved him. Because out of a love, he's going to tell him what he needs to do. And Jesus, beholding him, loved him and said unto him, one thing thou lackest, go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast. Now, I believe there needed to be a willingness to do this. I don't think he would have had to have done it if he was willing to do it. But a willingness reveals his heart. The Bible says, one thing thou lackest, go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor. And thou shalt have treasures in heaven. And come, take up the cross, and follow me. And he was sad at that saying, and went away grieved. Didn't go away with the joy of the Lord. Didn't go away with contentment. Didn't go away with the peace of mind. Didn't go away with that, the things that are far greater than money. And he went away grieved. Why? For he had great possessions. And he couldn't get himself to love God more than his great possessions. Wow. And God's recorded that for us. We have that. Luke chapter 16, let me just read to you verse 13. No servant can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. And this is the key right here. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. The things of this world. The wealth of this world. Why? Because both are masters of lives. If you're going to love God, you will not be able to love money. If you're going to love money, you will not be able to love God. Because the rich young ruler found out that if you love God, then you see money as something to be used to further the kingdom of God. If you love God, then you appreciate what God has allowed you to have, and you want to use what God has given to you for the cause of Christ. You don't have to be without. That's not what the Bible teaches us. That's not what this rich young ruler had to be. He just had to prove that I love God more than I do money. Matter of fact, when you start giving as God would have you to give, you'll find that God will increase what you have. Faith Promise Missions is a testimony to that very thing. Don't give as what man wants you to give, and don't give as you think the world has need of it. Give only as God would have you to give. God knows what he has given to you and how he wants to use it through you. And when you love God, you can't outgive God. But if you give according to man, yeah, you can find yourself in the poorhouse. And you can find yourself giving away things that God expected you to provide for your own family. So we cannot allow man to determine my giving to the world and to others and to God. I need to let God determine. And I'll determine that by loving God more than I do anything. Amen. God, you want me to give that? I'll give it because I know I can't outgive you. And beside that, naked I come into this world. And I'm going to leave this world naked. Because I can't carry any of it with me. That's a statement. That's a statement. Statement number four. Our last one. Verse 11. But thou, O man of God, servant of the Lord, one who understands God is real, one who knows that this life is not all there is to my life. This is a temporal being. I have looked forward to an eternal being. But thou, O man of God, flee these things. Flee these temptations. Flee these evil influences. And follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. And fight the good fight of faith. And lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called into eternal life, and has professed a good profession, because my eternal life is dependent upon my relationship with Jesus Christ. Yeah. Has professed a good profession before many witnesses. Statement four, flee evil and a love for money. You got to flee that. It's within every one of us to have a love for money, because money represents things. Money represents that dream home. Money represents that dream car. Money represents anything and everything that I would want to have in this life. And Satan will use all of those things, the desire and the temptation of all of those things, as a trap. Got to flee them. You got to just say, Lord, if you want me to have it, then it would be nice. I'd appreciate it. I'll make sure that I honor you with it. If I'm going to get a big bass boat, I'll not use it on Sunday morning. Amen. If I get a new set of golf clubs, I'll not play golf on Sunday. Amen. Nothing wrong with having that bass boat. Nothing wrong with having those nice golf clubs. Nothing wrong with having that car. Nothing wrong with that, as long as you don't love that more than you love God. What would you do to have that versus obeying God? Loving God more than money. Flee evil and the love for money. If you're going to flee it, you're going to have to spend your thinking and your time following after. Because we got a life to live. And I'm not going to live it for money. So I'm going to flee those things. But as I flee those things, I have to be committed to following. Amen? You getting what we're getting here from the Word of God? What God is presenting to us concerning this idea of money? You got to flee the love for money. And you got to follow after righteousness and a love for God. And once you determine, I'm going to flee that love for money, and I'm going to follow after the will of God and the ways of God and the love for God, you're going to have to fight. It's not going to be easy. You have to fight to stay focused on the most important things of this life. And those are the things that lead to eternal life, everlasting life. Matthew chapter 6, and we're closed, we're done. Matthew chapter 6, verse 19. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves, says what not to do, now it says what to do. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Can't take anything of this world with me, but I can sure lay up some things for glory. But lay up for yourselves, this is what you have to do for you and your eternal blessings. Lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. And then verse 21 in the key here says this, for where your treasure is, what you've given your heart to, what you have a greater love for, there will your heart be also. So in closing, where's your heart? Where's your focus? Am I focused on? Got to be honest with myself. Am I focused on a love for money? Or am I focused on a love for God? I trust we can all walk out of here this morning looking into our own heart, knowing I'm walking out these doors with a love for God that is greater than anything else. What a blessing that would be. If I could have every head bowed this morning, and every eye is closed, as you just think about that. Money, it's been a part of humanity and society from the very beginning. Never was God's plan to have a greater love for money than we would have for God. Where's your heart? Father, we bow before you this morning and love you and thank you, Lord God. We do thank you for, first of all, loving us, which gives us the opportunity to love you. And Lord, when we truly love you, it'll reflect upon how we live our lives. And I pray this morning, Lord God, for all that are here and all that have heard this message, that they would be honest with themselves concerning where their heart is. I trust, God, that there would not be one person leave here without knowing that they have trusted in Jesus Christ and received Him as their personal Lord and Savior. And then I pray, God, that not only our people and those that are here know that they're saved, but they would know how to live life to receive the blessings of an almighty God, not only here in this life, but also throughout eternity. Work in our midst. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.